Welcome to the Christian Publishing Review, where we take a closer look at new books coming from today's faith culture. In this edition, we'll hear from Dan Miller, author of 48 Days to the Work You Love, as he offers us practical instructions on how to approach our work as more than just a paycheck, but as a part of the calling God has placed on each life. We'll also learn about the trade book adaptation of one of today's most popular Bible studies for women, The Frazzled Female, Finding God's Peace in Your Daily Chaos, from author Cindy Wood, will guide hurried females to sanity, peace, and a deeper, more vibrant relationship with the Lord. It all starts right now, here on the Christian Publishing Review. 48 Days to the Work You Love is not about finding a new job. It is about finding out who you are going to be. According to Dan Miller, failing to make that fundamental discovery is why so many people find themselves in jobs that they hate. Featured on the CBS Early Show, ABC Family Channel, TBN, and the Dave Ramsey Show, Dan Miller will help you to see clear patterns form from which you can make successful career and job decisions. By understanding our God-given skills and abilities, personality traits, values, dreams, and passions. Let's listen now to Dan Miller, author of 48 Days to the Work You Love, available online at 48days.com.
We've been confronted with so much change in the last few years that it is absolutely necessary that each of us create a life plan, not just a job plan. We've grown accustomed to hearing the reports of downsizing and unwelcome change. People who went to work for these traditional companies are being given the unwelcome news that after years of faithful service, they are no longer needed. How does this impact us? What does that mean in terms of what the new opportunities are? We can't stop change. That will continue. Jobs will come and go. Companies will come and go. We can't stop that. But losing a job should not change the direction of your life. Your life should continue in the same direction regardless. But for that to be the case, you must have a life plan in place. Without a sense of what your life is all about, going far beyond what you do in your job, losing or changing a job can become a major derailment. 85% of the process of having confidence about direction comes from looking at yourself first. 15% then is the application. Knowing clearly how God has uniquely gifted you will give you the confidence to continue on a clear path rather than feeling derailed with each job change. We will continue to hear a lot about downsizing and jobs being terminated. Fortunately, new opportunities are plentiful. However, the new opportunities may look different than your old job. For you, it may not be a traditional job with an 8-to-5 schedule. What we're going to look at is, how does this change impact us? How are you going to deal with change? And then we're going to look at what is unique about you. Looking at yourself first is the critical initial step in defining the proper direction. That's how you end up with work that gives you a sense of peace, fulfillment, and accomplishment. Many people just look at the opportunity and try to make themselves fit that opportunity. This is a recipe for disaster. You can't talk yourself into doing well over a long period of time something that does not fit you. The first place to start is to look at you. So after we look at change, we're going to deal with that. Then we're going to discuss some of the nuts and bolts of finding the work you love. That will include resumes, job search, interviewing, negotiating salaries, and so on. We know that in interviews, most hiring decisions are made in the first 3 to 5 minutes. What does that tell us? It tells us that people are not looking at the fine print on the third page of your resume. Rather, they're looking at you, the person. Is this somebody I like? Is this somebody that's fun to be around? Are they going to fit in well here? So we're going to look at some of the characteristics that you have to be aware of in an interview situation. And beyond that, we're also going to cover what are some of the new work models. What about a non-traditional job that does not have the characteristics of an 8-to-5 job that most of us grew up with? What are the opportunities there? What about consulting, freelance work, business opportunities, or entrepreneurial ideas? So this process of looking for career direction, looking for the work that you love, is not just a nuts and bolts process of going, gee, how do I get a job? It's a process of really doing life planning. Where's my life going? How does a career fit into that? And what are the kinds of careers that complement the kind of life that I want? What we have to be clear on is doing things faster doesn't mean anything if you're going in the wrong direction. A lot of our time management principles are focused just on that, time management, how to do things more efficiently, how to do things quicker. But if you're in that car and you're headed toward New Orleans rather than Dallas, it doesn't matter if you're getting 30 miles per gallon and driving 80 miles an hour. You're going in the wrong direction. It's not going to get you where you want it to be. Another principle that we have to look at in evaluating careers is that we have to recognize that money is ultimately never enough compensation for doing a job. I've seen many people who are making substantial incomes, but they're saying, there's something missing here. Am I on the right track? Am I really doing what I ought to do? Thomas Edison said, the secret of success is focus of purpose. He was a master at focusing in on one thing, knowing that's what he wanted to accomplish, and devoting all of his time and energy to that one thing until it was actually fulfilled. We know that in anything that we invest our time in, there must be that sense of meaning, purpose, and accomplishment. Just because you have the ability to do something does not mean that it's well suited for you. Any job you have has to blend three things. I'll go through these carefully. It has to blend your skills and abilities, your personality traits, and your values, dreams, and passions. Just having the ability to do something does not mean that it's well suited for you. Again, I'll touch on these three areas and then talk about each one of them briefly. What we're looking for is a blending of your skills and abilities, number one, your personality traits is number two, and your values, dreams, and passions is number three. Recently, I worked with an attorney, 51 years old, has been in practice for about 20 years, doing really very well. However, he feels like what he's doing in many instances, although it's legally correct, is compromising his own values and that it probably doesn't help the people that he's working with to move in positive directions. Now, this is kind of like a car salesman trying to sell cars that he doesn't really believe are good value for the customer. Another example, I saw a surgeon not long ago. Again, he's been very, very successful, both professionally and financially, but he detests what he's doing. He's technically probably a genius at what he does, but the way that it requires him to relate to people is something that is really not suitable for him. Here we have a clear conflict between skills and abilities and personality traits. Another example, I worked with a gentleman who had six fast food franchises, all the same kind, here in the Nashville area. He came from a corporation where he was a CFO, Chief Financial Officer. In doing that, his responsibilities were very analytical, very detailed. He loved facts and figures. He loved profits and loss statements. He loved massaging the financial data around. That's what he does well. Now he happened to choose a business that requires probably 95% people skills. Hey guys, let's go out and do this. Motivate, hype, create a new plan of action, market, sell. Those are the kind of things required in the fast food industry. He hates that kind of process. He despises working with his managers, the people involvement and the people management that is required. And much more so, he detests working with a customer. So the combination of what he brings to the table and what's required in that industry has been a disaster. That's what we want to avoid. And that's what you can avoid if you understand yourself first before you move into a career direction. The real goal, then, is this. Plan your work around the life you want rather than planning your life around your work. Now, let me repeat that. We want to help you plan your work around the life you want rather than planning your life around your work. I know that might sound almost un-American, but that's a very, very basic principle here. It's simply a change in the frame of reference for the way most of us are trained to think. Instead of planning your life around your work, which most of us seem to do, you want to plan your work around your life. That's a major, major distinction, and it will give you a sense of empowerment, focus, and clarity for the future like few other things can. Viktor Frankl, who wrote the great book Man's Search for Meaning, says, "Life is never made unbearable by circumstances, but only by lack of meaning and purpose." So let's look at your own personal characteristics. You need to recognize that your career is not your life. It's simply one tool for a successful life. So we want to look at things that go beyond just the career. What about you? What is unique about you? You know the major question in life is not what you're getting, but what you're becoming. So you don't want to put all of your energies into one area. Be committed to achieving success in all of these areas. Career is one. Social, financial, family, physical, personal development, spiritual. Anyone who sacrifices in any one of those areas for success in one of the others will ultimately suffer and not be a model that we want to imitate. I encourage you to set goals in each of these areas. Identify what you want to accomplish. Make it quantifiable so you can track your success toward that goal. Understanding your personal style will tell you more about where you will function successfully than knowing even your educational background.
That was author Dan Miller discussing his new book, 48 Days to the Work You Love, here on the Christian Publishing Review. Learn more at 48days.com. Families, work, housework, child rearing, how many hats do most average women wear, whether working outside the home or not? It is a fact that working women rank stress as their number one everyday problem. Cindy Wood, a sought-after speaker and trainer, helps ladies creatively manage the stresses of life in her new book, The Frazzled Female. Based on one of today's most popular Bible studies for women, The Frazzled Female reaches out to busy ladies everywhere. Cindy's approach isn't no-nonsense, because she's as hilarious as she is helpful. But in the end, you will clearly learn how to become victoriously frazzled. Let's listen to a recent talk of author Cindy Wood speaking to a group of ladies about her new book, The Frazzled Female. Available now at frazzledfemale.com.
I brought with me my frazzled female treasure chest. Oh, see how heavy it is? We carry all of this around. See, you have yours, but I don't see it. But you have it. You're carrying it with you. How many of you have thought about home since you've been here? How many of you have thought about kids or husband or what you're going to do at work tomorrow? Or how many of you have thought about fighting busy traffic? You see, you're carrying it, aren't you? I've put together a little collection of things that have frazzled me as a woman. Well, not the actual things, because a lot of them are people. But representations of things and people who have frazzled me. And you know, I have found that these things are universal. Well, things like this. This is my son's shirt before I iron it. This is my son's shirt after I iron it. And it just jumps right off the hanger and goes into his floor in the bedroom. Now, see, I have learned to be proactive. I pull it out of the dryer and throw it on the floor myself now. Got to learn how to deal with these things, girls. Hey, you know, I have discovered... Well, I think we all discovered tonight that when somebody is very stressed out, like women get stressed out, they do silly things. People do things crazy. And it's just from being stressed out, isn't it? I took my son to ball practice one time without my son. I got there, and I had the ball, the bat, the glove, and I turned around, and there was no boy. Now, how frazzled is that? I went back home, pulled in the driveway, and he was walking up the road, opened the door, he got in. I never told him. You don't have to tell all of these things. And sometimes, you know, isn't it difficult sometimes when you feel like you're so frazzled and there's somebody who has it all together? You know, you just kind of wonder about that person. Oh, I want to get to one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I have become just so enthralled with Mary of Bethany. Now, I have heard about her all of my life, but just recently, in the midst of this frazzledness thing, the Lord is doing a great work in my heart about this sitting at the feet of Jesus woman right here. You talk about practical. I want to tell you, girls, this is so practical. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, and I love the Amplified Bible. I call it the Woman's Bible because it explains. in my NIV, when it says trust in, the Amplified says cling to, adhere to, rely on. That paints a picture for me. Well, Jesus is visiting in the home of Mary and Martha, and you know that they were good friends. This was not the first time he'd been in their home. But he comes in, and the scriptures say, out of Luke 10, that Martha received and welcomed him into her house. And then it implies that she went somewhere because the next verse is about Mary. Well, I can't find any translation that said she went to the kitchen, but I know she did. Had to be the kitchen. Because she's in there whooping up something for whom? For Jesus. When I read that verse that said Martha received and welcomed him into her home, and then it moves on, I thought, Lord, I do that a lot of times. I get up in the morning, I sincerely welcome you into my day. I mean, I mean it. And I'm excited about you coming into my day. And then I go ahead with life, and I forget sometimes I have invited you in. When in reality, you want to go through each and every moment of my everyday with me. No matter what I'm doing, you want to be there. You are there, but you want me to recognize your presence. You want me to call on you for help, to talk with you throughout the day. Well, she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. Now, the picture I have is one of Mary right here in front of the Lord, gazing into his face. And the Lord has given me the phrase heart gazing. Gazing into the heart of Jesus Christ, because I believe that more than gazing into his face, she was gazing into his mind, his thoughts, his emotions, his heart. She was totally hooked on Jesus at that moment, as if nothing else mattered, particularly what was going on in the kitchen out there, because Martha was, listen to this, overly occupied and too busy. This is what it says right here. It doesn't say she was occupied and busy. It says she was overly occupied and too busy. What about you? In your life right now, are you occupied and busy, or are you overly occupied and too busy? Girls, did you know that God does not want you to do every good thing? Has anybody ever told you that? Does somebody need to tell you again? God does not want you to do every good thing. And furthermore, he will not bless you in doing things that he has not called you to do. Wow, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Because my life for so many years was filled up to here with doing good things. And the reality that God would not bless me in doing things he had not called me to do, even if they were good things, made me really stop and consider what I was involved in. You know why God doesn't want you doing every good thing? If you do every good thing, you don't have time for a relationship with him, do you? Mary, seated at the Lord, gazing at his heart, that was her priority. Being at the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, we live in such a busy life. We have such a lifestyle of running in every direction, every moment of every day. And a lot of the things we're doing are good things for Jesus Christ. But did you know that many of us are bypassing the relationship with Jesus in order to do something for him? Did you get that? We're so busy doing things for him that we're bypassing the relationship. I'm reminded in Hosea 6:6, he says he doesn't want our sacrifices. He wants our love. He doesn't want our burnt offerings. He wants us to know him. I believe this is the most overlooked principle among Christians today. The Lord has just burdened my heart with that. A week ago, as a matter of fact, I was in a Christian conversation. And I was talking about being still before God, that that's where the power is and the glory is and where the peace is. You want peace from frazzledness? That's where it is, being still before Jesus Christ. And in this Christian conversation, a comment was made, but if we're still, we're not getting things done, our house is not being cleaned, dishes are not being done, we're not getting anything accomplished. And it was kind of just glossed over. And the comment then was made, you don't really have to just sit still before the Lord. You can listen to Him on the radio while you're cleaning the house, or you can go with Him while you're driving. You know, all of that is true, but as we'll see in the scriptures, what did Jesus say? The one thing needed. Mary was doing it. Was she running around listening to the radio? She'd had a radio while she was cleaning the house? No, what was she doing? She was sitting still at the feet of Jesus. And you know, my heart began to be so burdened in that night, I could almost experience Jesus weeping. I have never felt that so strongly in my life. And He was saying, my children are missing it. I have it right here for them. This relationship, this love relationship, I'm enthralled by their beauty. I'm wildly in love with my children, with my bride. And she's too busy for me.
That's Cindy Wood discussing her new book, The Frazzled Female, here on the Christian Publishing Review. Learn more at frazzledfemale.com. You've been listening to the Christian Publishing Review, sponsored by Brodmann & Holman Publishers. Learn more online at brodmannholman.com. And thanks so much for joining us.